Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and Doug Thornton from the American Vindictive Show. Doug is with us, and together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And I would almost call this an emergency broadcast. We're doing this at an odd hour, late night, and it's something that Doug discovered today. And I was busy being dad. We had taxes, bowling, and the gym, and so we were tied up today. And little did I know what a news day this would be. And there's a couple of really big news items. I'll probably hit three before we go. But before we go there, the first bank just failed of the year. Okay. And there's 220 on the watch list. And Dodd-Frank says they can take your money, your retirement, if it's connected to the bank. Don't go there with them. Okay. Diversify, diversify. I just did that. Did more diversification with Noble Gold. And it's not that I'm rich, but I don't want to be out of balance with what I'm holding, because I don't want to take a 1929 100% catastrophic hit, and neither do you. And Noble Gold can help you with that. And I want to say this: I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 6 years. That's after advertising for a total of seven. And the federal government wants me to tell you there's no guarantees. Okay, we fulfilled our obligation. That's true, but there's a reason why I've been there for 6 years. So here's what you do: I'm going to send you a free information packet. It has Noble Gold's number on it. You're going to look at it and say, yeah, I got a nest egg to protect. I need to do this. Okay, so go to davehodgesgold.com. That's davehodgesgold.com. And if you got a nest egg to protect, I don't think this is an option. Well, Doug called me when I was working out at the gym and started relating things to me that I think sets the country on the edge of religious persecution. I don't know if it crosses the line entirely, but Doug is going to talk to us about House Bill 6090, which passed, oh, roughly 390. I mean, it's not quite the exact numbers, but and here's what's weird, Doug. I looked this up on YouTube when I got home, and the only thing I found on it with House Bill 6090, and this is the only thing that came up. It was the House voting, and you see the vote totals change, and it says HB 6090, but it didn't tell you what the bill was, didn't tell you what it was for, it just showed the votes. I thought that was kind of strange. So
Well,
anyway, let's get into this.
so
Let's go through 6090.
this House bill may be very interesting in the near future. So, it's 12:27 a.m. So I just got off doing a live stream talking about this, so I'll try to see if I can still piece all this together in my mind.
Okay.
But let me just pull in a few series of events, and then we'll talk about this. That way, maybe I can make this like a linear thought.
Okay.
So, let's talk about a few things first. Let's recall two different operations that have happened in the United States. One, the CIA did, called Operation Mockingbird. We all remember that. Operation Mockingbird. The CIA has an analyst, an agent, an affiliate in pretty much every single piece of news media that you can find on the internet or by paper. All right. They've always had it since what, the 40s, 50s? So take that into consideration that the government does its best to put out propaganda or to try to deflate a situation by the behest of the government. Okay, now let's talk about something else. Operation Northwoods. Operation Northwoods, created by the Joint Chiefs of Staff in secret. Not even the presidential office knew that this operation was, potentially in fact. And the goal behind it was to cause war in Cuba so that we could go to war with Russia. For whatever reason, the generals really wanted a war with Russia, which would have been a guaranteed nuclear war. So that would have been staged attacks, false flag attacks by the United States government on Cuba or in Cuba, which would have been attacking Guantanamo Bay, which is our area out there. So the U.S. will attack the U.S. and then stage active shooters mass murders in malls in Florida and also take down an airplane filled with college students, and they would blame a Russian MiG for it, which we did have a Russian MiG or one of our fighter jets that was made to kind of look like one. And then they were going to shoot it down. And upon recovery, as it's floating in the ocean, we would then claim the Russians attacked us in multiple different ways, and now we're going to go to war. All right. So we got that out of the way. So let's go back to October 7th and the attack in Israel. All right. Now, the terror attack by Hamas killed thousands of people. Horrific. I mean, bloody horrific. So let's remember that we know now more than we did then that Netanyahu and the Israeli government seem to have known that this attack was going to happen. The United States seemed to have known that this attack was going to happen. And to even make this worse, Reuters, New York Post, I believe, or New York Times, and then another mainstream media agency had their reporters on scene at the area where this concert happened, where the first attack happened. Everybody there was killed, ran off, taken into captivity, except for those reporters. That's kind of interesting. How did they know to be there at that point in time? So now we know that those media, mainstream media stations, knew to put their people there. All right. So we've got that covered. Now we've got war with the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and the Israeli troops. We've got furthering war in Ukraine and Russia. So where am I going out with this? Well, there's been a buildup, obviously. We're sending a lot of money to Ukraine, a lot of money and other war efforts over towards Israel. And then out of nowhere, during an election cycle season, we also have nothing from Antifa, which I found to be pretty interesting. I thought that Antifa would be out and doing the things that, the communists typically do. And now they have appeared, but not in a way that's like against MAGA, against Donald Trump, but instead it was at these universities where federal forces, like what I was, would not be called in. It would all be done by state and local authorities, which is way more easily controlled, wouldn't make Biden look like a bad guy. And so the pro-Palestinian groups are out there running amok at these prestigious universities. And out of nowhere, because they're talking about anti-Israeli statements, apparently their free speech is of such danger that the United States government declared H.R. 6090 Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 223 to be unanimously approved, I guess, like, let me see, as of April 25th. All right. A few things. For one, the messages I sent you that's coming on Twitter, where it talks about H.R. 6090. And it says that this will even make things like saying Christ is king would be illegal to say. Okay. As I am looking at, govtrack.us, Congress, looking at the bill, it says nothing like that in the bill at all. Now, these bills are always wrote in such a strange way that you could always, I guess you could say, curve speech in a certain way that you could find it offensive, right? Because that's the way these bills are wrote. They're very vague, right? So this is my thought process. For one thing, what we're seeing on Twitter and social media is propaganda. It's being used to stir people up, to cause strife, to cause fear, and to cause people to panic. And from there, to get the masses moving and thinking. And, unfortunately, the average American citizen is just not as well informed as they should be. And so typically what they see on social media and Twitter, they just kind of believe it. And so then it gets passed around. Now, I fully expect the next few things to happen. While this bill is out, anything, basically what this bill says, and I'll go straight to number, let's see, prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, and national origin in programs and activities receiving federal financial assistance. So that's Israel, which title does not cover discrimination based solely on religion. Individuals who face discrimination based on actual or perceived shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics do not lose protection under such title for also being members of a group that share a common religion. Point three,
Let me ask you a question.
discrimination.
Hold, stop for a second. I want to ask you a question on that. So, if someone says it's a popular argument among Jews that say they're the descendants of Abraham and Moses, and that the Jewish contingent that's running the Israeli government, they're Khazarians and they're fake Jews. If someone talks about that lineage, okay, and a lot of Jewish people are talking about this lineage, is that a crime according to this?
It could be. It could be. Once again, the attorney generals and the FBI will laugh and say that they can indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah, I
Just all
don't care
depends
about
on how you write it.
that, but according to what you read, is it a crime?
I mean, once again, this is very vague. There's nothing direct. There's not like if you say this sentence, you will be subject to X, Y, and Z. Let me go to point three real quick.
All right.
Discrimination against Jews may give rise to a violation of such title when the discrimination is based on race, color, or national origin, which can include discrimination based on actual or perceived shared ancestry and ethnic characteristics.
You just answered my question.
So, anti-Semitic discrimination and anti-Semitism can, at this rate, if we're not going to have a narrow scope of what that is, then we have a broad, vague discrimination of what could be. So what could be is perception. And perception is not based on reality most of the time. It's based on feelings and emotions. Let's say this. Let's say, hypothetically, within the next coming months, there are multiple attacks here in America by radical Islamists. And they attack synagogues, they attack churches, they attack whatever, malls. Think of something like Mumbai, India, where there was like six attacks within 24 hours. One team would activate, and then the next team would activate, and then the next team, and so on and so forth, till they all died eventually. There was a guy recently on Sean Ryan's podcast. Now, he is, you can't see his face, you can't know his name because he's still involved in anti-terror activities over in Afghanistan, still fighting against the Taliban. And he is saying that whenever we fled Afghanistan, about 5 to 8 million Afghanis found their way into the United States, and there's an unknown amount of them that are Taliban. But the FBI did say that at least 50 or 60 of Taliban members that were on the watch list were apprehended. 50 to 60 is a lot. That's a lot to cross that border to be apprehended. Once again, if you go back to the way us down in Homeland Security believe crossing the border, if you catch one, you might as well expect three got away. So if you caught 60, you might as well expect what, 180, 240 got away? Who knows, right? So if this guy who is from Afghanistan, he's a U.S. veteran, he was in the intel agencies, he fought against the Taliban. He still has family in Afghanistan. He still fights in Afghanistan. And this guy is saying, no, it's around 5 to 8 million from what we actually know. Well, that's quite a lot of people. All right. And that's just from this one sect of people from Taliban. That's not really including Al-Qaeda. That's not really including ISIS. That's not including Hamas. That's not including whatever radicals that are out there. It's not including what the, probably millions of middle middle-aged men who are of fighting age from China or from all these other countries that are kind of hostile to the United States that are here, the potential of having a very large, very well thought out, complex attack on America, the possibility is now increased dramatically.
I don't think it's a
So,
possibility. I think it's a probability at this point.
yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's the probability is what we are basing this off of. The possibility is this event could happen. And if this event happens, we have to then ask, how manufactured is it? Because it's obviously manufactured. The border is wide open. We left Afghanistan. We're allowing all these people to come in. Now Biden wants to lend in all these Palestinians. You're letting in a lot of people that you're not vetting. And a lot of people that we're getting over here are kind of not helping American society too much if you look at the criminality that's coming out of people coming
An
across the border.
understatement. I mean, that's a gross understatement.
Yeah, so
These countries, Doug, are releasing mental health
criminals.
patients from institutions. They're releasing prisoners.
Yep.
Okay, so no, we're not getting the same quality of immigrant that we've gotten now. Are we getting some that are okay? Yeah, you are,
Yeah,
but
of course we are.
you're
Yeah.
getting a lot more of people that pose a real and present danger to the people in this country.
Correct. And that's statistically proven now, right? Through law enforcement. We can prove that that criminality has increased dramatically, all right? And the potential acts of terrorism has increased dramatically. So says the freaking FBI director, Christopher Wray.
Yeah, that's
So
true.
says Homeland Security. So says Secret Service. So says all the intel agencies. So says the DOD. Everybody's saying the next big attack is coming. What this guy that was on the Sean Ryan show said, it struck a nerve with me. He said, "I don't know exactly what it's going to look like or when it's going to happen, but sometime in the very foreseeable future, something worse than 9/11 is going to happen
Oh, yeah.
because that's the way the Islamists attack." They always try to outdo the guy prior to them. So, however it is that you outdo 9/11, that would be something that would do what? Unify people maybe against a common goal, a common enemy. Well, who's our common enemy? So says the politicians. It's Iran. Iran and then Russia. So Iran and Russia are allies, right? So now we're sneaking back towards the Middle East again with this thought process. We could potentially have multiple, very complex, staged, almost false flag, maybe, terror attacks. And we'll go ahead and just say no, maybe in it. And that would then possibly unify people here in America because the amount of atrocity that could happen. And from there, could increase people to go into the military. To want to fight for America like they did with 9/11. I was a byproduct of that. Many other veterans were.
Pearl Harbor.
Yep. And so there, now let's talk about Gaza. SecDef was out in front of Congress just a few days ago, being grilled by Congress, and he said, "Mr. Secretary, we have a boat, we've got a naval vessel. That is on a pier that we've built that then goes into Gaza on the harbor, correct? Yes. All right. Are those sailors, Marines, soldiers, whoever's there, are they armed? Yes. Do they have bullets in those magazines and in those guns? Yes. Okay. If they're shot at, can they shoot back?" And so he said, "Absolutely." Lloyd Austin, he said, "Absolutely. They can defend themselves." So the congressman then said, "Okay, well, they've already been mortared once. So that's indirect fire. And I do believe they've already been taking pop shots at the vessel. I can't prove that. That's just what I'm trying to gather based off of open source information. Don't quote me on that, but that's just what I'm gathering. You can probably go ahead and say, yeah, that's happening, right? So the moment one of our service member gets killed or actually gets attacked, maimed, hurt, we've got US right there in Gaza, Israel right here, and Iran right here, and Hamas is funded by Iran, who we release billions of dollars to Iran. They give it to Hamas. Hamas supposedly was created by the help of the United States criminal agency, I mean, the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency. And then from there, Mossad. So it's interesting that we created a lot of these little monsters and we're releasing them on people for our ability to eventually walk ourselves right in, right onto the front door of Iran and commit Operation what?
Well, I can tell you, Operation Hegelian Dialectic.
Yeah,
This is classic. This is classic what they're doing.
Nitro Zeus.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because when we eventually bomb Iran, who's coming to the crying help of Iran?
Russia.
Russia. And we want war with Russia. That's why we're in Ukraine. That's why we're funding Ukraine to the point that it's actually hurting our military capability here in the United States. So it's starting to, these pieces are starting to fit together in this big puzzle. Now, we know Netanyahu, he's a hardcore right winger over there in Israel. They're anti-Christian. They're very anti-Iran. They want to obliterate Iran and anyone around them that even messes with them. And so we know that the provocation of war is already there with Israel. They want anything possible to just be unleashed, have America give them the big old thumbs up, and they're going to go attack all the proxies while we're probably going to go and attack Iran. That's what I see in the foreseeable future. If that happens this year, I think because of this Congress, now this House is the House that put up forth the bill that says no paramilitary training. They want to disarm you, right? They are completely okay with taking away your Fourth Amendment, your right to search and seizure.
Section
They
702, yep.
they do not care about your privacy. They want to take away your First Amendment. We're talking about Republicans, by the way. Republicans. And
Rhinos.
then in the Senate, we have no hope. The Senate, who's all controlled by Democrats, definitely wants this to happen. So an interesting point of this is that some of this money that was just released, that $61 or $91 billion that went to Ukraine and then also Israel, not to our border, not to American families who are hurting, that was approved by Donald Trump. That should
Well, wait a minute,
upset quite a few
hold
people.
on. Trump's not in office, so how did he approve it?
He gave his big thumbs up. Because Lindsey Graham and multiple others said without the support of Donald Trump, we would not have got this bill passed.
Well, first of all, I don't listen to a damn thing Lindsey Graham says ever. He's a piece of
To me,
trash that shouldn't even be in a discussion.
at this
But
rate,
hold
it's
on,
irrelevant.
let me finish the point though. Okay. Do I think Trump did it? Yeah, he gave some passive support to it. Was he enthusiastic? I don't know. You can be the judge of that. I didn't think he was terribly enthusiastic. I'll say this, I think he wants to be elected and he's trying to galvanize different aspects of the Republican Party. That's how I see it. Doesn't make it right. I don't like that he did it. Okay. But we could argue about how demonstrative and enthusiastic he is about this support. What do you think?
Well, here's my thing. I do not support Donald Trump anymore. And I'll say that to his damn face. If you approve this bill, which is eventually going to get us into war with Russia, which is going to put more young men and women from American soil onto Ukrainian soil to die for these rich bastards who want nothing more than us to go there and continue these endless wars and to put us into Israel and to fight Iran, just. You need the representation of the Republican Party and the Rhino so bad that you approve this bill that is killing people. You are not worthy of that title of president anymore. We don't need war. There is no need for an action of war. We need peace. Trump was all about peace. Hey, when I was president, there was no war. And now you signed the bill to let us go into even further war with
Well,
Russia.
he didn't sign the bill, though.
He signed it verbally by his approval.
Okay. And back to my original statement, I think he's trying to get elected. I don't like that he did it. But do you think he would actually follow through with this if he were president today?
He's not the same Donald Trump from 4 years ago.
I'll take that as a yes.
It's not the same man. He feels, I'm guessing, this is my opinion, all right? It seems that he feels so offended that he wants retribution and vengeance so bad that he's willing to sell his original self out. He's willing to sell out his base just to get that title of presidency again, just to what, thumb his nose at everybody. Because if we go to war and they used him as the useful idiot that he is right now, Biden is probably going to become president still, because if there was ever a Congress who would approve of us going to war, and I think Congress has only ever declared war twice, and that was what, when we fought the British and then when we went into World War II, we have not had a declaration of war since. So if there was ever a Congress who would do it would be this one.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it. That's how
Oh.
stated. It'll just be, hey, we got a crisis. We're moving in. That's all there is to
It
it.
would change. It would change everything, but it fits so many narratives.
Yeah, well,
CBDC, it fits CBDC. It fits all the problems that we had with the lockdowns in 2020. It fits all the stuff the WEF wants. It fits all the stuff George Soros is doing. Look, I'm not anywhere in intel, and I know guys who are out there who are doing that. And they themselves know what's going on, but the higher ups know what's going on. They know for a fact what's going on because they're the ones moving the money around from funding string to funding string. They know what's going on. They're helping to orchestrate it because they need this next level of wars. For one thing, America's almost broke. How do we get money back? We go to war. All right. America is at the point to where no one believes the BS of Joe Biden, the Republicans, and the Democrats anymore. How do we fix that problem? We go to war. We stage terror attacks across the United States.
That I agree with, but I want to go back and I want to say a couple things here in response to what you said. I don't give a, you know what Lindsey Graham said, and I think that's a statement of entrapment to embellish more of what Trump meant or said. Than it was. It was a statement of entrapment. Lindsey Graham is never to be listened to, ever, ever,
I agree.
ever,
I
ever.
agree.
The other thing is the main culprit in government that could stop this, and I'll tell you why they're not. They're not stopping the war because a lot of Congress does insider trading in defense stocks. And the longer the war goes on, the more money they make. They love it. And that's why they approved the $68 million to go to Ukraine so they can keep making more money. They're whores and prostitutes. And that's where our main thrust is. Let's go back to Dave Hodges 6 months ago. I was screaming, toss them all. Let's get a website, tossthemall.com. Get rid of 95% of the GOP in the primary. Get Joe the plumber in because we can't do any worse, and maybe we can begin to turn things around politically. But unfortunately, nobody wanted to listen to toss them all mentality. But the reality is this, is there is no GOP anymore. There's a few people who are good that are in the Republican Party, but there is no GOP. I live in a state where we had a Republican head of the party for the state try to bribe Carrie Lake not to run against a wild-eyed liberal Democrat. Okay, that's proof right there. Now, then you had the county clerk and recorder who cheats on elections. Sue me, Stephen Reicher, you asshole. And then you've got Bill Gates, the chairman at the time of the Board of Supervisors, took out a political action campaign against America First candidates in Arizona. That's GOP versus GOP, Doug. There is no Republican Party. There's none. And you people out there that think that that is the case, you are living in la la land. The GOP went bye-bye a long time ago, and now it's being exposed for who and what they are.
Well, this is part of my thought process looking at this as a Christian. If we set aside our petty politics and our patriotism and we get back to what the Bible says, then we know, based off Matthew 24 and Jesus's prophecies, that there has to be a great war. The wars, rumors of wars, that these things are going to happen. It's going to happen, right? Because it must happen in order for the third temple to be built, in order for the man of peace, the man of sin, the Antichrist to come on the scene and to stop everything. What I would not be surprised is if everything got to such a climactic action that, we're about to nuke Russia. Russia's about to nuke us. We're invading Iran. Israel's going to nuke every nation around them. And out of nowhere, this stranger appears on the scene and stops it all.
I hear you. I hear you.
So everything that we're seeing, even politically, and we got to go from that 30,000 foot view when we look at the world. These are the pawns that are being moved, right? Satan's hand is in all of this, but God is in control of all this. So says prophecy, this has to happen. So once again, Satan's another useful idiot here, but Satan is tempting these men. He's pushing these men into war because he thinks the Antichrist is going to be how he helps to defeat Jesus whenever he returns. I guess he never read the end of the book. But what we got to understand right now is, as Christians, from our point of view, we can see, even with the red heifers coming now, that all this is pointing back to little Israel, all of it. So we've got to watch Israel. I don't like their government. I don't believe in what their government's doing. I don't believe in indiscriminate bombing, and I don't believe in discrimination against people, especially there in
Oh,
Israel.
whoa. You're in
So,
violation of 6090. Thank God it's not law yet, Doug. I'd have to bail you
oh,
out.
I know. I know.
I want to say something about this. I think you're probably right. So I'm agreeing with you, but I think we should present the audience with a different viewpoint as well. And here's the viewpoint, and it's the slim sliver of hope that I hang on to. The chances of this being true are slim and none, and as they say, slim is probably left down. Okay, so I think Doug is probably right. We're right on pre-trib right now. And you alluded right to the Antichrist. I totally agree with your logic and the progression of your argument. However, we could be Nineveh. And the Lord, Jonah 3:10, the Lord was going to destroy Nineveh, did not, because he saw signs of repentance and revival. They could have been Sodom and Gomorrah. They weren't. I think we still have the window open to make the same choice. Now, in the natural world where we'd be looking at odds and statistical odds, you'd say Dave Hodges is holding on to a hope that can't be and never will be. Okay, that could be true. But God is supernatural. He doesn't live in the natural realm. And if we had a revival in this country, I think we could push off this pre-trib stuff to another generation. Now, Doug, I agree with you. I think we're in big trouble, and I think we are where you say we are. However, I think we need to be mindful there is a slim ray of hope. Let me give you an example. If tomorrow, if 75% of the country repented for their sins, confessed Jesus as their Lord, do you think God would begin to work miracles to rid the country of the deep state?
Nineveh wasn't a country.
There was a city, but the but let's not nitpick with political organizations. It's the concept I'm talking about.
I think the concept is limited in scope. You're not going to get New York to do that. You're not going to get DC to do that. You're not going to get Dallas to do it, Atlanta. You're not going to get,
Okay, but you didn't
you're not
answer my
going to get.
question. Just answer my question. If we had 75% of the country do what I just said, do you think God would begin to work miracles?
I'll never say that our Lord would not, because we are to be praying that in the midst of his wrath, that he remembers his mercy. And I think personally, it's not going to happen because the spirit of the age shows it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. Listen, I agree.
I don't want to ever say ever that God would not have mercy on people who cry out to him.
Mm-hmm.
But at this rate, you better think of this as an individual race. Like, this is your race. You, yourself, in your house, you better be the Nineveh. Your house better be the Nineveh. Because this country, the blood debt is owed. And we are the whore of Babylon. We absolutely
Well,
are.
we lead the world in child sex trafficking, and the Bible says better to tie a millstone around your neck. I listen, you're not getting any argument from me here, but I felt an obligation to present another possibility to the audience for them to consider. But I think your statement is right on the money, and I think it's very astute. When you said your house better be the Nineveh, you people can't count on what I'm hoping for might happen. You need to count on right now what is and prepare accordingly. And if we get the
Amen.
miracle, well, that's wonderful. But if we don't get the miracle, you got to hope you're as prepared as possible. And it starts with your soul. And then it's food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. But you better get concerned about your soul, because what we're talking about right here is the devastation of this country and everybody in it. And Doug, I'm so convinced that we're being pushed into a civil war, and this is what they want. I'm convinced that the Chinese will come here under UN peacekeeping with the Kigali principles. And they've already said this will be the Chinese version of America, but there won't be any Americans. Genocide. Okay, what are you going to?
Oh, I always just reference my Bible for all kinds
No,
of things.
I thought you were going to come back
Well,
with some ideas.
tonight we were reading over in our Bible study, we were reading over Isaiah 11, the righteous reign of the branch. And as you're reading, once you get to the restored remnant and you start to read from, verse 11 to 16, there's some prophecies there that Isaiah talks about that we're kind of starting to see a little bit, right? If not utterly. But one of the things in there, starting at verse 15, and the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and with his scorching wind, he will wave his hand over the river and will strike and divide it into seven channels and make it possible for people to walk over in sandals. Now, I believe that's the Euphrates that he's speaking about. And
I
if so,
agree.
the
Yep, I
Euphrates
agree.
is drying up at a rate that is fulfilling prophecy. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant of his people who will be left, just as they were, just as there was for Israel in the day when they came up out of the land of Egypt. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Saudi Arabia who was working on making a highway from Egypt to Israel within that coastline, right? Now, I don't know if the project was even started, but I know that at one point in time, just 2 years ago under Trump or so, they were seriously working on that. Like, there was a peace between Egypt and Israel, between Saudi Arabia, all these countries, and all of a sudden that's just all been torn away. So prophecy is being fulfilled in front of our very eyes, which it makes me excited. It's scary. Right? There's scary times, but prophecy has to be fulfilled for Christ to return. But no man knows, not even the Son, when Jesus will return. Only the Father knows. So
Yeah.
all we can do is observe the signs, observe the times, observe what's going on through scripture related to what's going on in reality currently in front of us. Try to avoid as many of our conspiracies as possible to include Doug's own conspiracies, right? Doesn't mean I'm right. I'm not the guy who'll say I'm right. I think I'm out of my mind half the time trying to fit this cobweb of dots together. But the way it's appearing, man, I mean, look at what France is now in Ukraine trying to fight the Russians. Britain's over there. They're saying that they're about to destroy another bridge that is Russian owned. Poland wants to fight Russia. All these different little countries want to fight Russia. The United States wants to fight Russia. The United States wants to be in freaking in the Middle East again, and we want to knock down Iran. Like, this is going to fulfill a lot of prophecies that are coming up. We talk about the Psalm 83 wars. We talk about Ezekiel 38. We talk about a lot of things that it appears it's going to happen, then it slows down. And then it speeds back up and it slows down. Once again, Jesus talked about this, the birth pains, all right? times are going to speed up. It's going to get really hectic, and then it's going to slow down. We're going to have a time of peace. And then, boom, it's going to happen again. So we're kind of in this state where we're riding the curve up, the wave up, and then we're riding it back down. So,
Do you think psychologically, if God spared this country because of a revival, that you're psychologically geared towards adjusting with that event if it were to happen? And I agree, it's a long range shot.
his will be done, not mine.
Okay, I just, and I'm asking that question symbolically for the answer to,
Well,
because
let me ask you a question that was on, I was
let
on
me
our
t hold on,
comments a
hold on.
while
I want to
ago.
tell you why I ask you this. I asked you because I think people in the audience need to answer that. That's why I asked you.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's something that people inside themselves need to ask.
Well,
Let's go ahead and
you
make our
can't.
final point here because I want to get to what James O'Keefe found out.
Well, you can't get wrapped up around the gears on this and drive yourself crazy and watch video after video. You're gonna have a dang panic attack. So make sure that you're praying and you're speaking to the Lord more than you are watching YouTube right now, especially me, right? Because I'm probably ramping people up. But in our comment section, here's a good one for you, Dave. When the draft happens, not if. But let's say all this happens, all this stuff that I'm worried about. When the draft happens, do you go?
No.
Do you stay?
Yep.
Okay, here's two things. All right. For one thing, you have to be so close to the Lord right now to hear him, to know him. If you get drafted, let's talk about what may happen. One, you're going to go fight in a war that you don't want to. You're going to be away from your family. You may die. Your family will be left alone. That's a possibility, right? Two, you don't go. You flee. You're a renegade from the law. Now you're on the run. Now you're being hounded by this government. All right. Good luck running. And then you'll be imprisoned and you'll be away from your family.
Depends how
I'll.
big it depends how big the defiance is.
This is very true. This is very true. But I'll say this. In my flesh, I say run. Don't be a part of this wickedness,
I agree.
right? Don't spill blood on behalf of these wicked people. The other side of me will say this. What if it is God's will for you to go?
I don't think that'll be the case. But I think it's a question that you need to be prepared to answer.
Yeah, I mean, I have had this sneaky suspicion, and you and I have talked about this for years, that a draft's going to come. They could hit all of us old veterans up and force us in. Let's say I do get drafted, okay? Let's say I get drafted and I get pulled in to be a chaplain. I get pulled in to be a squad leader or a platoon sergeant, one of the jobs I've done before, not chaplain, but let's say I get put in that because now I'm a preacher. If I'm able to then minister to the souls of men, and that's God's will, then his will be done.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, your heart has to be right. That's the biggest thing. Your heart and your head has to be right. But, it's an interesting thing right now to even consider, because it's always a fight against the flesh. I want to preserve myself. I want to preserve my family and the safety of my family. But I also want to follow God's will, right? Please, like Jesus did, if I can,
I
let
hear
the
what you're
cup pass
saying.
by me.
I agree with your logic. Again, I agree with it. But I can't imagine a scenario where God would say, go serve this illegitimate purpose so members of Congress could get richer from insider trading. The defense industry will make a mint. And the globalists who want 90% depopulation may get their way.
Well,
I don't, I
we
don't,
never know illegitimacy when we're
I don't
talking
see
about
God, I
God.
don't see God supporting that. I mean, we'll
Well,
see.
hey, look, I'll say this. I'm pretty sure that what happened to Joseph whenever he was thrown into the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, went to Egypt, had a horrific time for a few years, he probably didn't see himself becoming the number two man of Egypt. You don't know God's purpose for you until you start to be into it. All right, it could be a complete mystery, could completely captivate you and take you by surprise, and then you find out God had a very useful purpose for you. You
Okay.
just didn't understand it.
So
So that's a possibility.
I'll answer your question this way. You better learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And this is something that's
Absolutely.
undertaught in the Christian religion.
Yes, sir.
And I agree with that logic, Doug. I do. But right here, as I sit and I use my logical cognitive processes, which can be flawed, okay, I would say right now, God's not going to put you in that position. He's going to say, do what's right, do what's moral, do what my word says. Thou shalt not murder. We have no reason to go kill a Russian. We have no reason to go kill an Iranian. We don't. You know, the
You know,
Bible, Exodus 22, says you can kill someone who's in your house at night, going to rob from you. That's justified. That's not murder. Okay, but that's not what's going on here.
look,
So,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't have any good answers for you.
yeah, I know. I hear you. We live in unprecedented times. And this is why I was so insistent that we look at, does revival lead to a pushing off of the tribulation? Because it's really hard to lay out the schematics. I mean, first of all, we're just beginning to understand major portions of the book of Revelation. We're just beginning. And pastors are telling me they're just beginning to connect Matthew, Isaiah to Revelation to complete the story. And now they're seeing how the dots are connecting. We're living in an age of discovery where we don't have the blueprint. The blueprint's being written right now.
Which is once again why Jesus says that you should always be prepared, always be
That's right.
prepared, like the wise virgins, like the man, the master of the house, expecting for the thief to come in. You should always be prepared. Remember, Jesus says, I'm going to show up knocking on that door. Are you going to answer or not? Right? So you should always be prepared to see the master. But, you know, calamity is coming. Regardless of what ministers want, regardless of what preachers are saying in eschatology and their researches, because I know a lot of preachers who are not, unfortunately, in tune with the spirit because they're so stuck in freaking schoolwork, they're so stuck in another man's opinions from seminaries that they've almost like left out the Holy Spirit in part of their preaching and teaching. But you know, there's signs and times. The Bible does give that prophecies being fulfilled before our very eyes. So we do have a bit of a blueprint to watch. We can get into this big book. That's your blueprint right here. We can get into it and we can study and we can observe, but you should just always be ready. You could die tomorrow. You could die tonight. Are you ready to meet Jesus? That's the number one goal, right? That's your first goal. You solve that problem first. It's actually pretty simple. From there, you know, the Bible also tells us not to worry about stuff that's coming down the pipe. Worry about today. You worry about today. Stop worrying about the past.
Well,
Stop
yeah.
worrying about the future. Worry about today.
You made a statement that I think people need to take with them. You better make sure that your house is Nineveh. I think of everything we've said in this interview, that's the case. You need to prepare to get right with the Lord. You need to get your house in order because you don't know what's coming. We don't know what's coming. We're giving you possibilities.
That's right.
But what you can do is take care of your soul for eternity, and that you can depend on. This other stuff is fluid. I mean, you know, Doug, and I talked to my dad and my parents about the Cuban Missile Crisis. They thought that was the beginning of the end days. They thought that maybe the Antichrist was going to come and stop World War III. And it was something that was being discussed. And you know what? It was a logical discussion to have given the fact that the world could have destroyed itself. So, you know, we just don't know. There's only one certainty. And I know people get sick of hearing it. This is the certainty. But the other thing, Doug, I'm going to say is earlier, and I said that we are just beginning to understand certain parts of Revelation. We may have the blueprint, but it's still incomplete to our level of understanding. It truly is. I mean, there's things. I mean, go back 100 years, and John describes some of the weapons, you know, and he uses bug analogies and so forth. And we know they're like helicopters that are armed. Okay, some of his terminology. He didn't understand fully what he was seeing technologically. Just described the vision. 100 years ago, Doug, we could not have had that discussion about weaponry and revelation. Today, we're beginning to see some of what that's all about.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it was the Nazis who created the first helicopter. And, shortly after the first helicopter, it was only what, 10 years after the end of World War II, we got a man on the moon. Now we got space-based weaponry. Now we're cutting the veil with science and exploring interdimensions, or you could just take DMT and do the same thing, apparently. We're so far advanced, but the Bible also tells us that information is going to speed up, technology is going to speed up too. It's going to increase ever more. So, before we leave, let's talk about what was happening with James O'Keefe.
We only got about 2 minutes to do that.
All right,
You
so
know what? Let me propose this. Why don't we do a mini sometime in the next day or two on James O'Keefe? A mini, not necessarily a broadcast, and hit it that way. I think it's a 10-15 minute discussion at most, and it won't get any coverage in the mainstream media. I will say this about James O'Keefe very quickly: he has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt the Democratic Party is laundering money into fake donations in people's names who usually have already donated to the Democrats, but not to the tune that they're doing money laundering. And this is what James O'Keefe showed. And I watched the proof of it tonight as he interviewed people and had the Federal Election Commission figures on this. It's incredible what he's finding. And you said something to me when we were on the phone and I was at the gym tonight. How's that guy alive? I think it's something we need to pursue a little more. Doug, let me ask you this question. What's going to happen first, a civil war or World War III?
my favorite question. Right now it appears it's war. That's what it appears. America is not at the rate currently, right? It doesn't look like we're at the rate to want to step outside and kill each other yet. That could all change tomorrow, right? It's just one idiot away from changing. But apparently the way it's looking is that larger pieces of the chess table are being moved into that placement zones
I agree.
for an invasion of multiple different countries.
I
That's
totally
what it
agree.
appears to look like.
But I will tell you this. I've made the case when I was on John B. Wells' show how civil war could happen first because it would weaken America to make us more vulnerable to invasion. And I think that's something that we need to be mindful of as well. But I agree, the recent set of events. It looks likely that we're going to war. And I'm saying more of what's happening inside of Ukraine with NATO nations. And they're moving in tactical nukes. They are.
Yeah, well,
Doug,
Poland
hold on.
just put tactical nukes on their border.
Yeah, I know. But I'm talking about moving them into Ukraine. Putin's only going to tolerate this for so long. Hey, Doug, in the time we have left, you got a good show, the American Vindicta show. Let's talk about how people can follow you.
So we're on YouTube and we're on Rumble, typically YouTube. Rumble's our backup. We do have a backup channel on YouTube called Wrecker Reads, Rekkr Reads. So make sure you're please signed up for that. I very rarely even talk about it. But also make sure that you're signed up for thecommonsenseshow.com.tv and that you're signed up for Dave over on Rumble, because that's pretty much the only place where you can find him for his stuff right
Well, we
now.
got
But
our podcast, and you can find that at thecommonsenseshow.com. But yeah,
that's right.
you're absolutely right. By the way, I
Very
got told
successful podcast, by the way. Thank you.
by Well, you're a big part of it, my friend. The one thing I would say, I've been told today by an insider source, and Doug, you can take this to the bank, and I'll tell you privately who told me. AI is doing all the censorship now on YouTube. And people who are doing stuff like on UFOs are being deleted because the AI is not really that accurate. It's incredible. They're deleting people without cause. They deleted a couple gamers today. And this is what I was told. Gamers, how does playing a game that's publicly available, sold on the open market, not political, and they're deleted? That's because AI sucks, but that's what Google has imposed on YouTube to use as enforcement. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. This has been lively and intentional. And I got to play the role of the adversary advocate here. So you could see all sides. I happen to say many times I agree with the vast majority of what Doug said tonight, but I think we need to look at all the possibilities because we don't serve a God that works in the natural. We serve a God that works in the supernatural, but I'm placing my bet on the things that Doug said. Get your house in order. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here next time. Thanks, Doug.